Big thanks to Slack for supporting the morning stream. Slack is a collaboration hub for work that makes sure the right people on your team are always in the loop and key information is always at their fingertips. Learn more at slack.com. Coming up on TMS, let them eat cake.
Randy pulled his Orton out.
How much for a testicle beer?
Cat on cat in Colorado.
Ooh, here's Waldo.
Major spoilers.
Trek nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It's a metal man.
What do you mean a metal man?
He's got smoke coming under his pits and he moves like metal.
Is he a man inside of metal or a man made of metal?
I'm unsure.
Do you see any flesh?
No. No flesh. No eyes.
Just metal.
Yes.
But he's a man.
Yes.
Yes, a metal man. We understand the concept.
Oh my gosh.
The Morning Stream. Am I still here? Hello?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. I think that is one of the funniest lines ever to be uttered in the history of There Will Be Dungeons. It happened last night, and I just had to play it this morning. So,
too funny. Love it.
It's making me fumble my fingers around.
John is hilarious.
No, he has got great timing, doesn't he? It's like,
he does. Like perfect comic timing.
Yeah, he's got a talent there that I'm not even sure he knows he fully has, but it was really good. Really great episode of that. If you're not listening to our D&D podcast every week, I know it's 3 hours of time, and you don't have to do, you can do it live, you can listen to it later, but if you're not doing it, what are you doing? Like, what kind of life must you be leading if you're not listening to There Will Be Dungeons? It's incredible.
You can even listen to it at 4x speed, and it's just fine.
Yeah, that's right. You can listen to this show like that too, you know.
Except for the music. Music sounds really bad at 4x speed.
I completely agree. Hey, we're back, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. I think we did. Today's August 13th, 2018. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hi, Brian. Good morning.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm fine. You have you have crusty man voice. You sound like you got a little colder. A little
You know, didn't sleep well last night. Didn't sleep well the night before, and I don't know why. But man,
is it the smoke? You got a little smoke in the air going on?
You know, it could be. It could be. Who knows? I was able to watch the entirety of. Saturday night.
The McDonald's deal. Yeah, that's good.
The McDonald's deal. Mm-hmm. It was already a recommendal, so I can't really use it as a new recommendal.
Sure.
So.
Good movie, though, right?
That's that.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Very good movie. And holy cow, it does not, it paints Ray Kroc as kind of a little bit of a jerk.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he starts out, it seems innocent enough in the beginning, and it seems, I think that's partly what I liked about it, is I swear that's a thing that everybody has experienced. You always go through this thing, or if there's somebody working with, like a partner, or some outside source, or something, and it just seems great at first. It's like, yeah, dude, next step stuff. This is big next level. And then it just starts to crack, and you start to go, oh, who have I tied my rope into here? And Ray Kroc, dude, that guy... kind of a penis in the end.
Totally. And then last night watched about 3-4 episodes of season 3 of Rick and Morty, which I hadn't seen yet. And what was it? Rick Mansing the Stone, I think, is the episode. Yeah, with the whole Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, excellent episode. Yeah.
Yes,
that's
very
good
much.
Stuff. That's good you brought that up because Daryl has to complain about it today. He tried to watch it again.
I love how you set that up. By the way, Daryl's gonna have to complain about it.
Yeah, because he watched some, I guess, and tried to do. You know, he said he'd try. He said he'd try again. And from what I can tell, it didn't go well. So we'll see how it went with him. I think it's generational, that show.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he's got a point, because that was the thing that the thing that initially kept me from taking it as seriously. I mean, as seriously, but I mean, taking it, seeing beyond his complaint. So,
yeah, I like the Mad
Max. We'll find out what that complaint and more coming up in our second hour.
This is all true. All right. So finally, I can pull the rug out. No, I can pull the cloth off the top of the story I held on to last week, because everybody flew back to Phoenix, Colorado. Oh, we had a ton of Colorado people here, by the way. I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
cool.
My Aunt Connie and all her kids. Excuse me. Her daughters were all here and some of their kids. And that was great to see them. And they say, I kept asking, so where's Arvada compared to where you are? And they're like,
yeah.
Oh, about 30 minutes this way or that way, or depending on where they lived. And
I know a guy there. I know a guy.
Yeah, I said, I got a guy there. He's a guy. He can get me what I need. And
he's able to, whatever I ask for, he's able to procure.
Exactly. And then
you you need a portable didgeridoo? He's got a portable didgeridoo.
Oh, hell yeah, he's got one of those. So my thing was, this left ear is being weird. There we go. My mixer, I need to blow it out or something. I think there's a dust contact thing happening, and I got to fix that. Anyway, so they all went back to Colorado. All the Phoenix people went back to Phoenix, Arizona, where you just cook yourselves alive. That's what you do there. Mm-hmm. And then the odds and ends, you know, Wendy and Adam. I didn't realize this. They came from Sweden to Minnesota, got set up in Minnesota for like 2-3 days, and then immediately got in a rental van and drove here, which takes about 24 hours, 22 maybe, something like that. I didn't realize that. So they drove all the way here, still fueling on jet lag from Sweden.
Oh, yeah.
They get to Salt Lake, and then they spent most, or well, at least Adam did, spent most of his time digging through storage unit stuff at their old house to get stuff to take back to Minnesota when they're done. And so even the, so she was chipper and great and everything on Thursday, but really she was dying inside because they are so tired. And anyway, now they're off in a van this morning to drive another 23, 24 hours back to Minnesota. Wow. They really put themselves through it this weekend. So
yeah, they did. Well, when you have that many, because it's five of them.
Let's see. Adam, Wendy, Abe, Allie, Peter. Elliot. Peter. So that's six total.
Oh, six of them. Okay. Yeah, well, six of them. That's the dividing line between when I'd buy plane tickets and when I just say, we're hopping in the family truckster and going across.
Good point. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. If it had been like the two of them and one kid, big deal. You fly. It's cheaper.
Easily fly. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But when you got six of you, that adds up, yo. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they're all gone, so I can tell this story now, and I can do it with impunity. I'm under no obligation to incriminate myself in a court of law or any of that. I can just say it.
Kim is given the nod of approval.
Yes, she said it was okay. She said it was okay to wait until now, but even Saturday and Sunday, even because we were spending some time with my sister and we were all together again, the whole weekend was just family. I mean, that's all it was. And even then, I was a little tempted, and Kim would look at me and go, don't you dare. She'd be like shaking her head. And so even toward the very end, I was still tempted. She says, don't you dare do it. Today, I am free to say what happened. All right. So this is how it went. The Wednesday part of this, which was the big dinner at Brio and the private room we had reserved there, and a big space and tables and a projector to show old photos of Mom when she was young. Everybody's there. Grandkids, kids, cousins, uncles, aunts, everybody's there for my mom. So our job, Kim's job, was a couple of fold. She had to make a big, beautiful cake for the event. It was either that or we spend like $350 for one. We didn't want to do that. Okay, but we're talking about like a big cake boss cake, like a fancy cake. Okay.
Oh, really? Okay, like super, did it look like anything? Like, was it...
No, it's just her colors, and she likes gold, and so it was a lot of frilly hoo-ha on it and stuff. It's just a nice, nice cake. And ingredients-wise, it was probably $30 worth of ingredients, which is pretty high-end for a cake you're making yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you would have had this made, you'd have spent like $350, $400 on it. Okay? So that's why they asked Kim to do it. They're like, well, we'll save a little money, and it'll still look nice. She does this. You know, we know Kim can make a nice multi-layered cake with, you know, all sorts of stuff, cool stuff in the middle and decorated nice and all that. So that was her one big job. She had one other job. Her other job was the place setting. She made a bunch of flower stuff for the place settings and these tables. So clear cut what we have to do. She's been planning for days ahead and, in fact, started to make that cake early Monday evening. So okay. Monday evening, she starts the early parts of the cake, which is... get the big round, you know, base parts, the 2-3 layers of that. Those are baked and ready. And then you refrigerate those and you do the next bit. And then I don't know how exactly all this goes, but she's got this mousse layer in there and that has to go in at a certain time and it has to set for a while. And then you do the the outer layer of the frosting and the other decorations and everything. She had that all figured out. I don't have anything to do with it because I don't know anything about nothing, okay? So she's doing all
you
of this stuff.
You don't watch those Cake Boss shows. You don't know the procedures and stuff.
No, and this and what little I've seen of those shows, mm-hmm. those shows always come down to this. Can these people, once they're done, move this giant thing across the room without dropping it? That's it.
Right.
That's the whole show.
Well, it's also, oh, I think we might have wanted to do too much. We might have actually tried to do too much for this cake, and I don't know if we're going to finish on time.
Yeah, I don't know if this wall of fondant is going to hold up as I move it across the room. So
okay, anyway
so going. She's got this thing going, and for 3 days there leading up to, well, 2.5 days leading up to Wednesday, I'm watching the different stages. She's kicking butt, making it. We have it staged out on this table, and it's all ready to go. And even on the last day, Wednesday, everything's ready to go. It just isn't stacked yet because you don't want to stack it till we get there. So we're going to carry it in two pieces. Base layer, or base couple of layers, and then the top three layers are separate on separate platters. Carter will carry one in her lap. I'll carry the other in my lap. Kim will drive, and then we're golden. We get there. You set them up. She has these structure beams in them so they don't, it doesn't fall apart. I mean, she had all details covered. Everything's good.
Yeah.
Here's the bit. Here's where it goes south. Wednesday, I wake up in the morning and I have this weird premonition before we do TMS or anything else. And I didn't talk about it on the show because I didn't think of anything about it. But I walked past that cake and all of its stuff and I went, oh man, can you imagine? What's the worst thing that could happen right now to this cake? Because it's a big part of the presentation. And I'm thinking, what is the worst thing that could happen? And in my head, my brain went, well, duh, the worst thing that could happen is the dog could get in there and eat it or something.
First thing I thought of when you said that, too.
Yeah, so I pictured it. I'm
just picturing Dino. Yeah.
And I picture it in my head. I picture Rainer getting up there and just tearing it to bits and making a huge mess and ruining it for everybody. And in my head, I went, that's funny. But that's, you know, that's not going to happen. Right. And then no, I forgot all about it. Okay, so the day goes on. Kim's out running some final errands for the thing that night. It's about, I mean, we're less than an hour away from leaving to go to the event. Mm-hmm. So I'm dressed up. I'm wearing decent. I look pretty formal. She's going to do the same. Carter's in a dress. They're off grabbing a couple things in the car. Some little girl comes to the house to bring something from her mom to Kim, rings the doorbell. Bing bong. And I haven't seen Rainer for hours. So, bing bong, I go to the door, I answer it, and she goes, oh, here's this. And while I'm answering it, Rainer, of course, is, she loves it when people come over. So I hang up, I'm like, where is she? Oh, she's in the kennel. Why is she in the kennel? Well, I'll find out later why she was in the kennel. But I didn't know. I just thought she shouldn't be in the kennel. She should be out having fun. So I put her outside. She went outside, peed, whatever, came back in. And then I went to the bedroom and plugged my iPad in to charge it and was checking some other stuff. And I'm in there looking at some things and... She suddenly, about, I don't know, 5 minutes later, Rainer comes running into the bedroom, jumps up on the bed where I'm sitting, curls up to me, and then just goes,
oh, no.
Just, like, okay. Nervous and weird and right. Jumpy, and I'm like, what is your deal? Why are you freaking out? And then she leaps off the bed and runs out of there again. And now she's out doing I don't know what. Mm-hmm. Comes back, does that one more time, sits by me, and then runs off again. Phone rings. I pick it up. She goes, hey, hon. I go, hey, babe, what's up? She goes, we're just picking up the thing. We'll be home soon. Are you all set? And I said, yep, I'm all good. I'll be ready to roll. And she says, okay, leave Rainer in the kennel for now, though, because the cake's out and I don't want her to get that. And I went, it was like, you know those scenes in movies where there's somebody's on the phone and suddenly the camera zooms, but somehow the background also zooms behind
them. Right, they basically are doing what's the trick? It's a zoom at the same time of a pullback or something like that.
So yeah, some weird lens that creates foreground background distortion.
And then there's like a jink and the music stops, like the background music, the suspense music that's been leading up. Jink.
And they use it in dramas and then comedies sort of riff on it. I've seen it a million times. I don't know what it's called. But I swear I felt what that feels like right then. And I just went, and I went all quiet. And I go, hang on a second. And I throw my phone down on the bed. I go running out to the kitchen. And I'm thinking, there's no way she's doing this. There's no way she's done this. There's no way this is a problem. There's no way, no way, no way. I get out there. Oh, you know what? Do I have it so I can show it on the screen? crap.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
I was going to prepare this and have it, like, handy, and I think I forgot to do it. Because she wouldn't let me show this picture to anybody. But I get out there, and sure enough... Oh, yeah, here it is. Sure enough, that thing is well eaten. Like, the dog has gone through the side of this thing and just chowed down on a big, fat chocolate cake. So
now, you said it was in layers, though. Like, it was in...
It was in multiple layers. Right? Well, it was laid out in one... So there's one stack, fully frosted, ready to go layer, or base, that has... Here. Two or three layers of big wheels of baked cake in it with stuff between it. Then there's another set beyond it, which is the top. Now, she couldn't reach the top.
Separate tiers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
She could only reach the base, the bottom tier. And the bottom, or no, I'm sorry, the top tier. The base was over that way. The top tier is closer to the thing. So she got to the top tier, and where's this photo? I want to show this. It's she ended up eating... Oh, I cannot believe I didn't have this ready yet. This was going to be a big part of the thing today, and I completely spaced it. Okay, well, that's not it. Well, poo donkeys. This is dumb. Anyway, so why am I in years mode? I hate this. Albums, there we go. Hold on, everybody. Hold on to your butts. This is going to be worth it, I promise. This is so going to be worth it. Okay, here we go. Okay. There, okay, all right, and I'm going to kill somebody. I can't find the freaking cake. Okay, that's great. This is perfect. This is just exactly what I was hoping would happen. All right, so I can't find the cake. Anyway, I'll try to show it throughout. I'll find it during the break or something, but the photo of the cake looked just horrendous. Oh, I know why. I took it in text. And you know how when you do it in text, it doesn't save it to your...
Oh, it doesn't add to your photos.
No,
yeah.
Right. That. Okay, I do have it here. Let me... see if this will show on screen very well. I don't know if it will, but let me blow my...
Oh, my God. And I don't know if there's a way you can...
All right. Can you kind of see...
Kind of see it. All right, so...
Do you see, like, the... It's supposed to be round there. Yeah. She took a huge wedge out of the side of this... Of the top of the cake, which was this beautiful cake, right? Ready to go. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Everything's all set. And so, as I'm looking at it, I don't believe it. Like, I don't believe that what I'm seeing is happening, because in my head, this was all just a dumb dream earlier. There's no way this is really happening. And we're an hour from having, not even an hour from leaving. We're having to leave soon, and it's another half hour to get there. And to be on time, there's no time to do anything. You can't bake a new wheel. Like, we're done.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's the time. Yeah, exactly.
So here's what Kim hears on the phone from across the house. You ready? I'm going to do an impression.
Right, so it's you throw the phone down. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Yep.
Hold on.
Yep, this is it right here.
This is what you hear.
Shit! Okay, so she hears that.
Yes.
I come back to the phone.
I don't know why you didn't take... You have a portable phone. Like, it's your smartphone.
I don't know why I threw it down there. So I come back, running back to the phone, and she goes, "What is the matter? I heard you yell." And I go, "Hang on a second." I run back to the kitchen. Could you take a picture of it, send it to her? I said, "Is that a problem?" She says, "Oh my gosh, what happened?" I said, "The dog did it. I let the dog out. I wish you guys would have told me why you put her in the thing." Like, I'm starting to like deflect blame, even though it's kind of really totally my fault. And she's like, "Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And she goes, "All right, I'm coming home right now." She hangs up and she's going to rush home. We're going to see what we can do. Here's the best part, as far as I'm concerned. She comes home, and while she's riding, I'm thinking, "Oh, no, all we do is make, like, a little decorative shelf there. You cut out dog bits, right? And then you just have a nice little drop-off, and you put frosting there, and what you end up with is just, it looks on purpose." And this is what I'm thinking. It still looked terrible, but that's what's in my head.
Fill it with, like, basically a frosting spackle fill-in, basically.
Yeah, and I was thinking more of, like, you just slope off the walls of where she ate.
Oh, okay.
But Kim was thinking like you. She comes home and she goes, "All right, here's what we're going to do." She pulls out this vat of unused frosting that we didn't use. Uh-huh. And she kind of does exactly what you said. She spackled in the shape of what used to be the thing.
Go get me some armature, some chicken wire. Go get me some... You, over there. Give me some suction.
So, and she cut out as much of like where the dog's tongue and teeth and everything would have made contact, because, you know, we're trying to minimize the problem.
So anyway, yeah, she does that.
To the relatives you only care for so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me get you a slice from the back of the cake right here.
And there's a couple there who, you know, I'm just saying, we've been fine. But anyway, so then she takes more of these flowers that are part of the cake and she puts them all over it and covers it, makes it look like a waterfall of flowers coming off that side. It was it was beautiful. It looked better than the original design. And I wish I had both pictures here. The other one's on her phone, but... So it's like this graceful thing. It leads down to the bottom. And we're like, all right, now that looks awesome. Everybody shut up about this cake. Don't say a freaking word about this cake. Let's just take it like it is. We load it in the car. We get down there. And here's the best part. So we get there and there's all the proceedings and everyone walks by the cake, goes, oh my goodness, that's a beautiful cake. Kim, you've outdone yourself. You know, all this. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, it's good. And I'm just dying inside thinking I just want to tell everybody what happened. And so what I was worried about, though, is when it came time to eat the cake, who's going to rush over there and cut it and, like, end up with a big wad of frosting, you know? Right, yes. By the way, dog frosting, good title suggestion. Somebody put that in there, dog frosting.
Kidding. And good name for your punk band.
Yeah, that's great. You want to play keytar for dog frosting.
I opened for dog frosting back in the 80s.
So when it came time for cake... Wendy goes, she's on the other side of the room, she goes, all right, I think it's time for the cake. And my wife was like, what's Flash's name, his real name?
Allen?
Yeah, Barry Allen.
Yeah.
Pops up out of her chair, over there to the cake stand, and proceeds to cut out all these generous slices of cake, but conveniently keeps the dog side hidden away from any kind of cuts. And by the end of it all, she had never had to cut into that specific part of that portion of that thing. So very she good. Was very deft about it. Somebody else, Wendy or somebody says, hey, Kim, can I help you cut the cake? She's like, nope, I got it. It's all good. And I'm just laughing over there and she's giving me the stink eye. So at the very end, this is also a great way to end this. At the end of the night, all has gone fine. Everyone liked the cake. Nobody's eaten dog cake yet. Okay. But the people who'd been serving us, and they were great, by the way, the Brio staff, amazing. They were really good. They deserved every tip they got. Except we kind of gave them a tip maybe they didn't want. But at the end, they're milling around, and they're like, what would you like us to do? Do you want us to box up this cake? And Kim goes, oh, I don't want to take this home. And she just kind of nonchalantly, kind of forgetting about the problem, says,
yeah,
why don't you take it in the back and anyone in the kitchen and any of the wait staff and bus staff, you guys can all have whatever's left. There's a big lot of this cake left. It's a really good cake. You guys might enjoy it. Oh, that's wonderful. We would love that. And as they're leaving, Kim looks at me and goes, oh, like, I've just sent dog cake back with the workers. So for all I know, we weren't there to witness it.
It's like all frosting.
Ooh, I love more frosting. I wish there was always a big pocket of frosting for no reason.
Coming up at 11, a local restaurant's employees all get diabetes. We'll have the full story.
And dog diarrhea. We don't know what's going on.
After a designated survivor here on your CBS network.
So they all went back there, chowed down on dog cake, and it was the greatest. It was the greatest. The hardest part about all this was just never saying anything. And I'll probably never tell my mom. She won't listen to the show, so she won't know.
Right. That was the whole reason that you wanted to wait, that Kim had you wait, is because she didn't want any of the family to find out that the cake that they loved and enjoyed the other night could have made contact with dog face.
Yeah, that a huge tongue. Portion of it eaten by the dog. Oh, here's the other thing. I worried the whole time that Rainer was home just throwing up.
Oh, horking up, sure.
Because chocolate, right? I thought, oh, man, this is going to be bad. She's had chocolate before, and it's really messed her up, so... Mm-hmm. We had to leave her outside because leave her in the kennel or inside and we're just asking for trouble. So, but also I want to make sure she was okay. So I kept checking the outdoor cam thing and she just laying in the sun, chilling in a chair. She'd get up once in a while and stretch and I get home. She's fine. She's 100% fine. So I don't know why that chocolate cake didn't bug her. Maybe cake's different or it's dispersed or I don't know.
Less just cocoa powder as opposed to the stuff that's in chocolate that's bad for dogs.
Yeah.
Dark chocolate I know is worse than milk chocolate for dogs. So.
Yeah, and this was very much like a milk chocolate, but like you say, like a cocoa powder based thing with lots of flour and, you know, sugar, and it's not the same. So she ended up being 100% fine, but she knew what she did was bad. the minute she did And when she
that
was
running in,
in
and like because there was nobody else to catch her, like she wasn't running because somebody caught her, busted her. Mm-hmm. She ran in because like, oh, I've just done a horrible thing.
And I'm going to go do a little more of it. Like, she has no control over herself because these are dog instincts, and she knows she can't control it, but also she does. She absolutely knows that Kim, who is her alpha dog, she knows she's wronged her. And it was just such a great temptation that she did it anyway. It was a really interesting kind of dog psychology thing to witness. And even now, Kim walks in the room, her ears go down, and she and Kim's not yelled at her or scolded at her or anything. She just knows, being around Kim, that she did a thing to a thing that was hers, and she's still sort of upset about it. So it was just a kind of a weird cacophony of events. In the end, I'm super glad it happened because I like a good, weird thing.
Makes a good story.
Yeah, it makes for great stories. But at the time, I mean, it was panic mode because my mom is, how do I put this? This is a big deal for her. 80's a big deal. And she kind of wanted, like at one point, I mean, I don't know if I want to let this out, but at one point we were supposed to put a sash on her, kind of like Miss America, and she was going to have like a little crown, and people were going to walk by and give her a flower. Like it was going to be real, we got real weird for a bit, and then we kind of had to dial everybody back, and you know, guys, this is a little weird, and my mom, you know, she loves the attention, she loves all this stuff, and you know, to ruin the cake or to have the cake and know that there was a giant dog rip on the side of it would have been really bad for her to know that. Now, Mom, if you're hearing this or someone else is telling you this secondhand, your lips never touched dog cake. Kim made sure of it. It's the people in the kitchen who ate the dog cake.
Oh my God.
Don't tell Brio that we gave him dog cake.
Right, didn't give him dog cake. Yeah. Also, the fact that enough structure was left in the cake to be able to support the other tiers. Like it was a good, because sometimes with those other tiers, you've got like little pillars on the sides that kind of support it and stuff like that. So good thing.
And that's kind of what these were, except they were in the center. So they're like three posts that they're plastic posts that she has embedded in this base. Mm-hmm. And then the top fits on those posts so that it doesn't move or budge or whatever. So it was all good. So had it actually had the dog, had she had the base near the table, that would have been way worse than the top. So so as luck would have it, she ate the right thing, even though it was still the wrong thing, but it was better than the bottom thing. And it was all about me letting her out of the kennel. And I don't know what I was thinking. I knew the cake was there. I had this premonition earlier in the day. And it wasn't like I don't even believe in that. I'm not I don't believe in this whole thing. Oh, I witnessed a car crash. Better not get in the van. I think that's usually a hokum. But this thing was such a vivid, like, the dog destroy the cake. Ha, 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 how weird would that be? And then later it happens.
Yeah. Like, to a total premonition, total...
Yeah.
What was that movie? What was the movie where... never mind. It was... I'm thinking of Final Destination. It wasn't really as much premonitions as it was just dumb ways to die based on surviving the big, horrible way to die.
The world tries to kill you through happenstance is how that movie worked, which is a great concept.
Death finds a way.
Yeah. It's a good concept.
It's my chaos theory.
I hear they're rebooting that. That's getting a new treatment or something.
I love the concept.
Yeah.
But it just got so silly. Like, he somehow ended up in a paper folding machine and got turned into origami because he dodged the plane crash.
It does have that thing, though, you like in a good horror movie, which is who had the most creative death, you know? So you need the right filmmakers. I think you get the right mind in there who can really get twisted with that, and then you'll have a great series of films. Those first ones.
That's right.
Like, great concept. Petered out. It's not great.
I-Corp points out, Dead Zone. That would be the ideal one. Your dog is going to be eating your cake. You're going to have to get home and protect the cake.
You know, you do a good
chocolate frosting all over the place.
You do a good young, what's his name?
And
Christopher Walken. You do a really good old Christopher Walken. You got the range. It's pretty good. I'm impressed. Thanks. Makes me want
to
go.
Not, I'm certainly not attempting to bridge the years. I'm trying to do it. How would it sound if he was?
Well, you nailed it.
You're gonna go home. You're gonna open the box. Cake is gonna be all over the place. The dog is gonna eat the cake.
Anyway. You're kind of killing it. All right. Hey, look at this, everybody. Time to have some fun.
Na, 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 na.
Speaking of cake, we have Brian Dunaway, the Cake Master, on the phone. Hi.
Cake Master. Cake Master General. Yes, that's right. My name.
The KMG. Yes. KMG. That's pretty good, actually.
KMG.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
Except cake is with a C.
When he's not in the Situation Room in the White House recording a conversation with General Kelly, he's here with us talking about game shows. Boy, that's a real wing dinger, that thing that's going on. We won't talk about it. We'll save that for jury tomorrow. But Brian, how are you? What's going on? How are you feeling today?
Hi, I'm doing fine, Scott. Just trying to plan my day around a sick dog.
Oh.
But, I just listened to your cake story, but mine has a cold, and now it looks like we're all afraid that it could be some kind of kennel cough, but he's never been in a kennel, but apparently the internet says it can still happen.
Yeah, and you can get it from other dogs, right, I think?
Mm-hmm. Right, and he hasn't been around other dogs. He's only been around other cats, so I don't know.
No, it's a cat strain.
It sucks cats. Sleeping together.
Yeah.
Mass hysteria. Yeah. So I gotta deal with that this afternoon. So that's what I'll be doing all the way up until the Boop Show.
That sounds like a real blast for you. Boy, we're gonna have to haul ass on Boop Show today because it starts a half hour away from World of Warcraft's launch.
Hey, maybe we can start a little early today. Anybody else needs to hear this, but maybe me and Scott will talk later.
Yeah, if you're home with the dog anyway, hey, that's an idea.
I'm prepped. I'm ready. We can do it now. Right. Ibbit, get out of here. We're having a show.
We're doing a show.
Sounds good. I'm going to go play BFA.
Okay, see you later. That sounds great. Hey, let's get right to it. This is a little game we're going to play with a special guest who calls in, and we have a caller already. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Melnick in the chat.
Hello, Melnick. How are you?
No, I'm all right. How you doing?
Speaking of cats, do you like to have cats? Do you eat cats?
Ew. Do you eat
cats?
What? Yeah, isn't that what Alf is? Is it Alf from Melmac? Isn't that what he's?
Oh, Melmac. But he's. Oh, I think he's Nomic. No.
No. Oh. No. Oh, you mean Alf? No. No.
Yeah, you're. It's Nomic, right? Gnomic.
Gnomic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. My bad.
Nomic, like,
sorry.
Okay. Right. Here's my question, Nomic. Is it because you're not like a little tiny guy, are you? Is that why you named yourself that?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
No.
All right.
No, I played EverQuest way back in the day when my wife and I first met and took that character to WoW, which I don't play anymore, and that's where the name. I do play Gnome in those games.
Well, you should play today. It's going to be a big day today.
Yeah.
Well, it's you know you're tempted. You are, right? A little bit, just a tiny bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it's okay to admit. You never even have to touch it, but to just admit that you're tempted is okay. That's good. It's a good, healthy.
I stopped before Legion, so that's how, I did play it for a while.
Fairly recent.
Yeah, fairly recent player. It's good to have you here. You're going to play the game with us, and Brian Ibbett here is going to explain the whole damn thing. Brian?
That's right. So, Nomic, you're going to come from Melmac, and you're going to play Babel Royale. I'm going to give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic. They're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win will go to the other player. Your job is to predict who is going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for carryover prizes from last week, Tiltagon, Cave Blazers with Arena Mode DLC, and Mimic Arena, which are the carryover. We're adding to that The Fall and Cosmonautica, all courtesy of Matthew Box.
Oh, my.
A big prize package today.
Yeah, it's a fine prize package. I'm excited.
Now, here's the topic, and I've got a little bit of explanation on this because we got to keep things somewhat fair. So, Laundry Scent suggested this one. 14 actors have appeared in over 50 episodes of MASH each. So, like, when you rank up how many episodes a character or an actor appeared in, then you cut it off after 50 and say, these are the only ones that appeared in 50 or more episodes of MASH. Now, we all know that Scott's been binge-watching MASH recently. So, so that does kind of put a little bit of a an advantage for Scott. However, here's going to be the balancing that I've decided to do.
No.
Scott can only name actors. Brian, I'm going to let you go with either character names or actors.
Good.
Whatever you want to do.
Oh, man.
But of course, if Scott gives an actor,
good,
you can't give that actor's
I was
character
just,
name.
I was, there was, yeah, there was specifically one character I was thinking of. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know his name.
Yeah. Yes. If there was a good character good named Jimmy John and you said the actor's name was Larry Pensacola, you couldn't win.
Right.
You don't get it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So once a character is named, the character and the actor are off the table. Or once a character or an actor is named, that is all off the table.
All right. I feel pretty good about this. I feel all right about it.
This provides a little balance to the force.
You know, I'm not totally mash deficient, but I'm going to take the handicap.
Yeah, take your advantage. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. It's totally fine.
The balance was a baby. Gnomic, knowing the topic and the caveat, who do you think is going to come out on top?
Nothing against you, Brian, but I'm going to give it to Scott.
Yeah.
I would vote for Scott myself.
Yeah.
And you also get to choose who goes first.
Oh, yeah. Who should go first?
Brian.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. That's always the tricky thing, because there's no real strategy to it, but sometimes you just get lucky with the number, and it's how it works out.
Right.
So we'll see how it goes. All right, Brian, you're first.
Right. Well, I'm going to go with Hawkeye, Alan Alda. He was there for 99% of them.
Oh,
right?
I see what you're going to do. You're going to rub it in that you know the character.
That's going to be. There's only like two or three that I know the actor name.
Okay.
So. Sure. Right. Yes, Captain Benjamin Franklin Hawkeye Pierce in all 251 episodes of MASH.
Yeah.
So good choice.
Well done. All right. It's Gary Berghoff. Played Radar.
Gary Berghoff. Yes. Corporal Walter Radar O'Reilly. 174 episodes for Radar.
Yeah. Then he was out. He thought he had a big career ahead of him.
That's right. Yes.
Weird name.
Thank you, Brian.
Oh, it's got to be Alan Alda's roommate, B.J. Honeycutt, right? He was there a lot, right?
He was 179 episodes, as a matter of fact. Very
he's
good.
He was always
making the martinis, right?
Yeah, he had a roommate, didn't he?
Jim Still, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm gonna say Wayne Rogers, because I need to get the other one out of the way before he just guesses at it.
His other roommate. Only 74 episodes for Wayne Rogers, but yes, Captain Trapper John McIntyre.
Yeah.
Also played the man on the PA in Kimpo for one episode, but it doesn't really matter.
No,
so.
I like it, though. Correct. It's a nice little piece of trivia.
Right.
All right,
back to you, Brian.
Well, there's one that I want to say, but he wasn't. How many episodes was it?
They'd have 50. They had to be in? It has to be in 50 or more episodes.
Okay. I think he was there for 50. Sherman Potter.
Sherman Potter, correct. Sherman Potter. Harry Morgan, Sherman T. Potter also played Major General Bartford Hamilton Steele on an episode, four episodes before he was Potter?
Yeah, totally. We just saw that again, and it is a riot to see that transition. It's pretty funny when you see it that quickly after each other. But in the back in the day, you had not only a week between episodes, but then you had a whole season break and a bunch of reruns. So nobody saw it. And so when it happened, nobody even noticed. They were just like, oh, new guy. He looks familiar, but I don't know. But if you're watching it binge-like, it's weird. It's super weird. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah. So, 180 episodes for Potter.
Horse hockey. All right, I'm going to say...
horse hockey.
William Christopher.
Father Francis Mulcahy.
Yeah.
213 episodes for Father Mulcahy, which surprises me. I would have figured he was also like a... every episode kind
of
guy.
He's also the one of the only actors who had somebody play him before he played him.
Right.
The first
yes.
episode pilot was a different guy.
Huh.
Right.
Yeah. Only one episode, but yeah.
I'm going to go with Hot Lips, Margaret Houlihan.
Correct.
Houlihan.
Also appeared in all 251 episodes.
Oh.
By the way. So there was no episode without Pierce or Houlihan.
Oh, it's a conspiracy theory.
Oh, we're getting down. we're getting down to it here.
You are getting down to it. So back to you, Scott.
Let's see. Larry Linville.
Larry Linville. Major Frank Burns. 121 episodes.
That was Larry Linville.
121 episodes for Ferret Face.
Yeah.
And,
Ferret Face.
Well qualified in the competition here.
In the snitch category?
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, right. So my other... I'm getting pretty low here myself. Jamie Farr.
Jamie Farr.
One of the few actors I actually remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
216 episodes for Corporal and Sergeant Maxwell Q. Klinger. Also was an announcer, PA announcer. I guess they treated it as it was a separate character, but he was announcing as Klinger, so I don't know why. But anyway.
Oh, my gosh. I am getting into a weird place here. I don't know if I'm gonna hold that one because I don't know about number of episodes is the problem.
Sure.
So I'm gonna say David Ogden Stiers is gotta be 50 or more.
He 131, as a matter of fact, for Major Charles Winchester. So very good.
Glad I picked him.
Yes.
And now I'm at the end of my rope. Be good. that's about all I can remember. I remember other characters and actors, but the crap if I can remember their name. I mean, I used to always like the cook, but I don't know his name. He had to be in a lot of those, but I don't think you're going to go with Cook.
I'm not sure it's 50 of them, though. That's a lot for, I know his name.
No, he was in a lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Maybe.
Didn't he also run the projector, too? When they did the film?
Sometimes, but Jamie Farr did that a lot as well, I've noticed.
You're right.
And so did Radar in the early days.
Like four episodes where they watch a movie in the mess hall.
Yeah, it's not like 50. There's no way.
Really? There's not. I mean, it seemed like they was doing it every week. Maybe I just kept seeing the same reruns.
Just once in a while. Yeah. Once in a while.
Oh, well, who took... Did we already mention... I can't tell me, can we?
If we'd already
mentioned Potter's replacement, and I... God, if I can remember his name, I cannot. I can see his face, but I can't remember his name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Billy Goat Sherman. That's who was... that's who I'm going with.
Billy Goat Sherman. Is that correct, Brian Ibbett?
I'm afraid there was no Billy Goat Sherman, and so... The wind does go to Scott.
Oh, that's fantastic. Look at that. Look, here, wait. Hold on.
Congratulations.
There you go.
You're a winner.
Congratulations, Gnomic.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done. It was, I knew the last one, but here's the thing. With Henry McLean Stevenson is his name.
Correct.
Okay.
The concern would have been the total episodes. Would I have gotten
73.
It?
He was there for 73 episodes.
Yeah, he was at least there for 2 or 3 years.
Well, so. 6 years. 1972 to 1978.
Yeah, he was there for six of the seasons, which is plenty.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't. Yep. I thought maybe he was skirting it, so I wanted to save him for last. So I still had him, and I had Kelly Nakahara. Yeah, she played Nurse Kelly. She was How many episodes?
167, so more than Winchester.
What?
She was more than Frank Burns.
Was she Hot Lips' roommate? Because I knew she had a...
Well, no.
Not roommate, but just one of her nurses.
Sweet
I think Houlihan had her own tent.
Yeah, and for a long time, Kelly was super small role, like barely on or in the background kind of thing, and then later became, like the last few seasons, she became kind of a big deal.
More of a major character.
Yeah.
The other two you could have named, Jeff Maxwell, was Private Igor Straminsky.
Oh, Igor is the cook. He's the cook, Brian. He's
correct.
The cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the cook. Yeah.
And here's my favorite one. You could have said Roy Goldman, who played Roy Goldman, Roy Corman, bartender, Corman, enlisted man.
Oh, that's right. The bartender.
Mash staff, man in jeep, orderly, sharpshooting Corman, and finally, tray dropper.
Nice. Was Rizzo in there? Rizzo's not
Rizzo
in there.
Was not. Not enough episodes for Rizzo.
I kept thinking that Dunaway might say Rizzo for some reason.
I should have said Charlie.
Yeah.
That would have.
Who's the guy that who played Colonel Flagg? I don't know his name, but
Flagg
was awesome. He was my favorite, but there's no way he did 50 episodes.
No.
I kept thinking that somebody replaced Radar when he went on his little hiatus for a while. Then I remembered, oh yeah, that was Farr. He came in and he did Radar's.
Klinger became Radar. See, that was the big irony with Klinger is he spent the entire series, even when he was being a good company clerk, the entire time trying to get out of the army, trying to wear the dresses and do the Section 8 thing and all that. And in the end, he's the only one that stays. He stays in Korea and marries a local who ends up being Chief O'Brien's wife from Star Trek.
Keiko, yeah.
Keiko. Anyway,
I don't know how many episodes Sidney Friedman. That's it. Yes, I can't remember how many.
You're thinking of Sigmund Freud. I think
that's why I always. That's what makes me remember his name is I think Sigmund Freud, and then
there it is.
SF. I think that was intentional that he has the SF.
And I would never know his real name. I would never know that. So I would have lost on him. Mm-hmm. What's his name?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, here I'll look it up.
What he's in something else, wasn't he?
He That's kind of bug me. He may have. Let's see. He died in not long ago, 2013. I guess it's been 5 years. Here it is. Alan Arbus is his name.
Alan Arbus. That's
right.
Alan Great Franklin face. Arbus. That's funny. His middle name's Franklin. Benjamin Franklin Pierce. And a lot of people don't know this, but we just saw an episode again of where there was a famous doctor, like a heart surgeon or a thoracic guy or something, who was visiting the camp but is also an alcoholic. And right when they needed him most to do a procedure, Hawkeye goes to get him out of the thing, and he's just sitting there all drunk, and he says, "I can't. I'm inebriated, but you can do it, Hawkeye." And then there's like this big thing about him doing it. That's Robert Alda. Alan Alda's real dad.
Really?
Yeah.
How neat.
Which is pretty cool. So, yeah, I've been watching a lot of MASH lately. I think you made the right choice, Nomic. I think you knew exactly what was up. Here's all you have to do. Send Brian Ibbett an email, coverville@gmail.com. He will send you those codes. You are today's winner. Congratulations and well done.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah, good
job. Thank you for letting me go with character names, because at least it made it challenging.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I figured I had to...
It would have been Jamie Farr and Dunn. Alan Alda and Dunn.
I would have known. I did have to provide some sort of balance.
Yeah, it's like doing a West Wing one. I've seen that series like 5-6 times. There's no way. We should never do that topic. I don't think
next,
it'd be fair.
Next week when we do Rocco's Modern Life.
Oh, you'll kill me. You'll kill me. Or do like Grape Ape episodes or some shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. It's Brian Dunaway, everybody. He will be with me on the Boop Show today. Maybe early. We'll see. We don't know. We'll figure it out. Maybe at 3 instead of 3:30. Or 5 instead of 5:30 your time. Right here at frogpants.tv. So keep an eye on our Twitters and stuff, and we'll let you know. Boop Show.
Look at my Twitter. Yeah. Look at it.
Look at it. Stare at it. Bye, you weirdo. Okay, he's gone. He's definitely a weirdo.
Definitely.
All right. Well, we have a little time left. That means we can do this.
Yay.
Nope. What happened? That didn't work.
No.
We can do this.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
Time for the news, brought to you by...
Are you looking for delicious new recipes? Do you want to support a military family to deliciousness and beyond? Is a 130-page cookbook featuring over 50 dessert, beverage, and bread recipes developed by a pastry school graduate and wife of a member of the Air Force. Ooh. It's now available on Kickstarter. If you enjoy delicious homemade recipes developed by a great wife, mom, and sister, visit tinyurl.com/KickstarterCookbook. That is tinyurl.com/KickstarterCookbook, or search Kickstarter for two deliciousness and beyond. Cookbook.
A nice flourish at the end. That was great.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Really good. All right, we'll do some quick ones here. WWE legend Randy Orton. I'm not a wrestling guy, so I don't know why he's a legend, but I've heard his name 100 times.
Randy Orton.
I'm not really a wrestling guy. Anyway, he's being probed.
You're more of one than I was. I never watched any wrestling as a kid, and you guys all seem to watch it right after Saturday morning cartoons.
A little bit. Like, I knew who the big names were, and that's it. Like, the Hulk Hogan.
Sure, Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan. Sure, well, even I knew those.
Like, even, Undertaker a little later and some of that. Because the ones that were more, or like the Iron Sheik, the more of a character they were, the more I would notice it. Otherwise, I just, you couldn't be bothered when I was that age. But anyway, no, wrestling's a big deal. Randy Orton's a big name, and he's being probed after pulling out his, this is a quote in the headline, pulling out his penis in a backstage initiation ritual.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, Brian. Randy Orton would pull out his penis, grab it, and then make WWE writers shake his hand in a bizarre initiation ritual, it has been claimed. What were you going to say?
So somebody did this before me. Oh, I didn't realize I wasn't the first.
Now, sometimes, you know how in a modern internet age, we all think we're doing something first, but somebody somewhere already done it. So this is one of those, Brian. You're not the first to whip out your doodle in the backstage of a WWE event. It says the Wrestling Federation or the WWE is looking into the report after it resurfaced on the wrestling page of an aggregator site called Reddit, they say. We know what Reddit is.
Oh,
thanks,
an aggregator
guys.
Site only identifiable as Reddit.
Thanks, fellas. You're really hip and with it, this article.
Yeah.
Orton is alleged to have surprised new writers by pulling out his penis in a bizarre ritual to get them to shake his hand. Historic accusations reemerged from the Major League Wrestling podcast, made by ex-WWE writer Court Bear. His account on the paid-for podcast was transcribed by a Reddit user and posted online. Company Now has confirmed they are investigating these accusations against Orton. He is also known as the Viper, 13-time world champion, and one of the biggest names in the WWE. The 38-year-old has been with the company for better part of 20 years and is a second-generation wrestler named after his dad, Bob Orton Jr. He alleged Orton would confront new writers before removing his penis and then ranting at them. You know, I would rant too if you removed mine.
I would too, yeah.
I don't know why they'd use the before removing his penis. He would confront new writers before removing his penis.
Removing it from his pants.
Yeah, but it's a bad sentence because it sounds like you're detaching it.
Yeah, well, it does sound like there's some disconnection going, but yes.
Listen to you and your words of wisdom.
Because really, I mean,
he's removing it from his pants, Scott. It's from his pants.
From his pants, he removed it. But I mean, you could easily just stick your hand down your pants and grab it and pull it out without having to unzip and remove.
It's true. Plus, he's in some kind of tights, probably, and doesn't wear no undies, is my thinking.
Right, right.
Anyway, they state the same exact thing about 8 times in this article. So here it is again. We would demand they shake his hand even after he had touched his genitals and threatened to tell WWE bosses if they refused. Bauer made his comments on an episode 49 of this podcast, which was published in 2012. So now it's all fresh again. Everyone's discovering Randy Orton's wiener for the first time.
Come see it again for the first time.
Here's a fun one for you. Colorado story. Let's do this one.
Oh, God. Oh, good. Okay, we're skipping the beer.
Yeah, we'll skip that for now. We'll do that one. We'll save it for tomorrow.
This one's harsh.
This one's a little harsh. A mountain lion broke into a Colorado home, lounged around on the couch, and ate a cat.
Oh.
Feels like you're eating your own kind a little bit there.
Oh, right. A little catabolism.
That's pretty good.
A little bit of a dad joke there. Sorry.
No, it's all right. It's good. I'm a fan.
A little bit, yes.
I'm a fan. 2 thumbs up. Kayla Slaughter. Oh, that's not a good name.
Oh,
in this.
That.
Yeesh. Said her roommate returned home Thursday night around 10:30 p.m. to find a mountain lion in the living room of their house that they share. Slaughter said the mountain lion looked right at her roommate and licked his lips. The roommate took off and called police. Do cats have lips? Because I really like to know.
Yeah, of course they do.
The roommate said it was terrifying. Slaughter believes the mountain lion snuck in through the screen door of an open window. Luckily, no humans were inside at the time. But their house cat, Klondike, was trapped inside. This is a Klondike bar.
I can't even go there. It's so sad.
I know. Aww. It is sad. Says, I have a picture of the mountain lion playing on the couch. It looked like it was watching TV. Slaughter said the mountain lion looked right at her roommate. We already said this part. Shortly after the roommate discovered the mountain lion had eaten Klondike, she was mine and that is hard and that's the end that she had. Wildlife officials arrived. They had trouble getting the uninvited guests out of the house. They shot bean bags at the windows, attempting to drive it out for hours. It took them forever to get them out. So there you go.
Jeez.
Watch out.
I don't see what part of Colorado this was.
They don't say location.
Gotta be, I mean, obviously it's gotta be mountain town and...
Yeah, it has to, right? I was thinking it had to be near near mountains.
Breckenridge or Vail or something like that. Oh, Boulder. Wow, Boulder.
In Boulder, geez. Yeah, we had the same kind of things happen here, and they're usually, like you say, it's usually around a mountain where the lions would be. Mountain lion.
Yeah.
Or cougars or stuff.
Wow,
like
there's
that.
Like, I mean, the video is pretty...
They don't show him eating the cat, do they?
They don't show him eating the cat, but I guess he's through the window. Oh, and that, damn.
Let's take a look.
Don't go to that link. Like, go to the KDVR, or I'll just put you, I'll put a link in the Discord. So this is the link to the KDVR article with a video.
All right, let me take a look. See, here we go. Oh, wait, let me just click the link here. Okay, all right. I got it, I'm doing it. Okay, hold on. All right, here it is. It's in a Boulder home.
Yeah, mountain lion wandering inside of your home. That is exactly what happened to a Boulder family.
Oh my gosh,
this
is a big cat.
It is a big cat,
price. Fox 31's Kagan Harsha has been in that neighborhood all night and spoke with the family.
Okay, local news, you can bite me. I'm going to look at this other video.
The second video looks like an Instagram post or Facebook post is much better.
That's a beautiful animal, though.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe don't... Oh, there's no audio on it. It's too bad. Oh,
no.
I mean, there is, actually. I think it just made a sound. Here we go. Oh, it's yawning. It didn't make a sound.
Oh, I thought that was like a growl, like a rawr.
Oh, he's got a little food baby now. And, it's terrible. It's terrible. Klondike. Poor Klondike.
Poor Klondike.
I feel bad for Klondike.
Yeah.
But I don't feel bad for our guests who are coming up soon, and we're going to take a break before we get to them. Major spoilers is a thing we're doing today with Steven. We got Trek Nerd a little bit later. All that and more. Stick around. Brian will bring us there with the Rainbow Bridge called Middle of the Show Song Break, Indie in the Middle. Wow. Brian, what do you got?
Yeah, I totally will. So this is a band called, I'm trying to find if I have a link here to their stuff. Oh, man, this one did not come up. Hold on a second.
No worries. Take it.
Well, you know, sorry, the band is called Whitney Road, and their brand new album is called The Road Always Changes. I'm trying to find, like, the information on where they're from and kind of, you know, that flavor, that flavor text.
Sure. What's their deal? Like, information. They started at a college town, a dibba-dooba-doo, and that kind
of
thing.
How do they get involved with music?
What's the deal?
From Manilis, New York, which I've never heard of. Yeah, I don't know where that is. Or, yeah, all right, Onondaga. This information does not help me at all. Here's what you can do, though. You can find out more about them, and boy, I sure would like to, at their website, whitneyroad.com. Yeah, in upstate New York, original music project blending the genres of country rock and blues. Crafty original melodies and great vocal harmonies. Okay, so yeah, this is good stuff. Despite what little I know about the band, I like the song. Very bluesy, little country twinge in there and some rock. The band is called Whitney Road. The song is called All Goes Down.
All right, here it is. We'll be right back.
Down, we gotta get away. Don't keep waiting.
Big thanks to Slack today for supporting the morning stream. You know Slack. I use Slack. Everyone uses Slack. Slack is a collaboration hub for work, whatever work you do. With Slack, the right people in your team are kept in the loop, and the information they need is always at their fingertips. Teamwork on Slack happens in channels, lets you organize conversations and information around projects, offices, teams, and so on. And because everything you need to work is in one place, it's faster and easier to get things done. With Slack, your team is better connected. You can find out a whole lot more at slack.com. You reduce emails and streamline your team's communication. This is so absolutely true for me. Save time and improve productivity. No more searching through emails to get that follow-up. No more switching across multiple tabs or platforms to keep you updated on what's going on with all your work. Very easy, convenient. Drag and drop file sharing. Works great. Works with great services too, like Google Drive, Zendesk, Salesforce, and the like. And it works wherever you go. Mobile apps on iOS and Android sync seamlessly. And, of course, desktop browser and apps on the desktop as well. Mac, PC, across the board, man. Slack, where work happens. Learn more at slack.com. That's slack.com.
And while you're doing that, I am going to have a hot and juicy hamburger with mustard, pickle, and onion.
What's in the box?
This is the morning stream. Yo, bartender, Jobu needs a refill.
And we're back, everybody. Welcome back. Back, everybody.
Yes. So a song like that, that's about as much country influence as I will willingly play. Like, if it's a little more country than that, it probably won't make it onto Indie in the Middle, but that one's like so bluesy with just a twinge of country that it's like, oh, yeah.
I see it more. It was more honky-tonk or like, I don't know what to call it. Yeah, blues is a better example, or a better description. I didn't feel, in fact, until you said that, I wasn't even noticing it as country. And I know Brian. He doesn't let that stuff in here, man. He's hardcore. Screw that. Oh, look at this. That sound is like...
That's the sound of progress.
It really is the sound of progress. Or something. Or the sound of...
The sound of not answering.
Not answering. Usually it's much quicker than this. Gosh dang it. I can't mute it. It won't let me. I can't mute it. It's annoying. Steve is not answering. It sucks. All right, well, he's not answering. I don't know why. Okay, now we're recording again. And hey,
Steven.
It's Steven Schleicher all the way from Skype Hole, Kansas. Welcome back.
Skype Hole, Kansas.
That's right. Hey,
I think this was Skype's fault. My computer has been really weird.
Behaving ill-behaved lately?
Yes, ill-behaved is an understatement.
Well, I understand. Sometimes that will happen.
Oh, and it crashed right when I was rendering some proxies for an edit I have to do. Oh. Now I have to restart all this.
How long does that stuff take? No. A long time?
It's about 6 hours worth of stuff.
Oh, geez.
Oh, no.
How far in were you?
I know one of the files was done. I have a feeling the other one was finishing up, and that's maybe why everything locked up.
Oh, could be. Well, look at
I need a new computer.
Look at the sacrifices you're willing to make to come on the show and talk to us about dumb stuff. Well, it's great to have you. It's Steven Schleicher, of course, from MajorSpoilers.com. He comes on here Mondays, and we talk about the goings-on in the world of pop culture, comics, movies, and so on. One of the big yippity apps I've been hearing about lately is Batwoman.
That's
not,
right.
Not girl, not man, but Batwoman coming to the CW.
Yeah, so you know every year they do this big crossover between all the shows. And I know some people, when those first started, were like, there's no way this can work. And then they made it work, and they continued to make it work.
Yeah.
And they crossed over with other networks. And now they're bringing Batwoman into their next big crossover event later this year. I think it's in October or November is when they usually have the big crossover event. And Ruby Rose has been cast as Batwoman. And then there's talk that if the if this goes off well, we may have yet another DC CW series in the works.
And how do we know this Ruby Rose? Do we know her from something else?
She was in XXX, Return of Xander Cage. She's also in The Meg, which is out in theaters now, and John Wick 2.
She was And she was the girlfriend of Piper in the Orange is the New Black,
I think second
or third season.
Yeah, and she is
really
so this
hair, Australian accent.
This is notable because she is Batwoman is canonically in the comic book gay.
Right, for
a lesbian.
In this incarnation. So in the original incarnation, they needed to create a Batwoman to kind of get married or have a relationship with Batman because of, you know, this whole Bruce Wayne and his young war dick, you know, kind of stuff going around. So they created Batwoman originally as kind of a wife for Batman.
She is
but since
Barbara Gordon originally, right?
No, that was
Batgirl.
Barbara
Gordon is Batgirl.
Yeah.
Batgirl, okay.
Kate Kane, Catherine Kane.
Right.
Gotcha, okay.
So her deal is that she is, in real life, gay.
Right.
She is a lesbian, this lady.
Correct.
I think she has more of a deal than that, but that's...
Well, yeah, that's a good point. But Ruby Rose, you know, a gay actress working in Hollywood, doing her deal, and is known for various roles like that. And so I'll bet this makes people... who worry about such things a little happy, right? Because they're always complaining that they're getting appropriated.
She got chased off Twitter.
Oh, why? How come?
Oh, because she's not gay enough. She's not Jewish. People, comic book readers who don't realize that Batwoman is already gay and has been since, I don't know, for about 12 years now in the comic books and in this new incarnation. So a lot of attacks left and right. And she's just like, you know what? I'm had enough of this. I'm off Twitter.
Boy, it's a real shocker what you've described to me here that people on Twitter gang up on people and make them quit.
Let's just nuke it from orbit.
No kidding. Sometimes I wonder. She's tattooed, man. There are some tattoos going on. Yeah. Woo!
Well, if you have not read the Batwoman series from J.H. Williams, it is really, really good. The art is fantastic. And the Batwoman character is pretty badass. She does not, you know, she kicks ass and takes names. And, She really goes to town on the bad guy. So it should be interesting to see her character in and see if she can be darker than Green Arrow is in the Arrow series.
They can probably play up the tattoo thing, make her, you know, kind of a bad girl and just keep them. You don't need to cover all that up, I don't think.
No, probably not. Although, you know, one hopes that she has long sleeves of clothing.
Well,
tattoos would be pretty easy to identify someone.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, all right. You know, bring it on. Let's see what we get. Sounds fine with me. Twitter trolls, you guys are buttholes, and well done. Keep on being buttholes. More details on that on the side, of course. Also, Super Dinosaur is making its way to Amazon. You're gonna have to explain this because it's.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen this.
I've never even heard of this.
This is from your favorite person in the whole wide world, Scott Robert Kirkman.
Yeah.
And he, long time ago, Robert Kirkman, for those of you who are not up to everything, he is the creator of The Walking Dead. I want to say like a decade or so ago, he created this character of the Super Dinosaur.
Yeah.
And it's this like T-Rex with these little tiny arms living in modern day. And of course, in order to enable, you know, him to fight crime and do superhero things, he's got these big robot arms that he wears on over his shoulders, and then he operates a little joystick down by his chest because that's how farther his arms reach. It's a cute little series. It is not supposed to be big and deep like Invincible or The Walking Dead, but it's a nice, fun series, and it's getting the animated treatment over at Amazon.
Oh, well, that sounds actually kind of great. Why not? Dig into your old stuff. It doesn't have to all be Walking Dead and whatever. That sounds fine. Yes, these have robot arms like Veronica, correct?
Robot arms, yeah.
Don't you know the rules of Tyrannosaurus X? You broke it, says the dinosaur as he's leaping forward. So these huge robot arms he's got, they're being controlled by his little teeny arms down there.
Yes, on the joystick down by his chest.
Okay, that's pretty great.
It is pretty funny. And of course, he's got a whole team of support. So, you know, you're going to have little kids that are interested in this. There are some violent moments, but I mean, this is definitely a PG type comic book. And the times that I have read it, it's always kind of fun. Mm. And so if people are looking for something that's a little bit lighter than The Walking Dead from Robert Kirkman or some of the other horrific other TV shows that he has out, you might be on the lookout for this when it arrives on Amazon.
I quite liked Outcast, by the way. It was, I don't know if it's still on. If it is, I just need to catch up. But the guy who plays the preacher that hangs around the kid is so good in that show, and it's great. It's all about demonic possession and stuff, quite different from Walking Dead. And I never read the comic, so I don't know how close it is to the source material, but I thought that was a pretty good little show. It was on Stars, I guess?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw it well after the fact, but worth checking out if you're into Kirkman. The way this one's described, the evil Max Maximus wants to get to Inner Earth, don't we all? He wants all the dinosaurs that live there. He wants the dinosaurs that live there. He wants the powerful Dinor mineral. That's D-Y-N-O-R-E mineral. Get it? That originates there. Super Dinosaur and Derek Dynamo are the only ones who can stop him. The fate of the world rests on the shoulders of a 10-year-old kid and his best friend, a 9-foot-tall Tyrannosaurus Rex who loves to play video games. Sounds pretty light.
Now that doesn't sound fun.
It sounds light. And that's fine. That's fine. I mean, look, if Amazon was like, hey, let's make a show, there must be something to it. So I guess we'll find out. Finally, your recommendation this week for a good comic book.
I think I've mentioned this before, but Lock and Key series from Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez has gotten a series commitment from Netflix. And so it'll probably be 2019, 2020 before we see it. But if you want to get caught up on a fantastic series right now that has horror and humor and some very touching moments, some very intense moments, then you should check out the very first volume called Welcome to Lovecraft. It's about a family who has gone through a horrific tragedy when a kid tries to slaughter the whole family but kills the father. They're going back to their ancestral home in Lovecraft, Massachusetts. And when they get to this home, they start to discover these keys. And it's really good, and there is an evil force that is trying to gather all the keys for its own purposes. It is a fantastic series. I would really recommend everyone start off with Welcome to Lovecraft. It's the first volume. There are 6 in total, plus a 7th kind of compilation of short stories, but it is some of the most brilliant art you will ever see.
The art is amazing. It's so good.
Yeah. And then, of course, for those of you who don't know, Joe Hill is Stephen King's son. So you also have some big, heavy, scary influence in that as well.
Yeah, the writing's really good. What makes it, though, is just the mixing of that particular style of writing and that particular artist. It's just perfect. It's so good. Like the detail in some of the like big compilation scenes and stuff are unbelievable. Like, it's really unique, and you might look at it at first glance and go, oh, it's kind of simplified, it's kind of, you know, more stylized or whatever. Absolutely, but there is no lack of detail. It is just an amazing amazing artwork. It's incredible.
Yeah, stuff. It is, and it's so detailed, and it's so incredible.
Yeah.
And it's the story is really, really good, too. Like I said, 6 volumes, complete story. Go check it out. It's from IDW Publishing, but you can find it at really good bookstores. I'm pretty sure you can find it at regular bookstores, not just comic bookstores. And, of course, on comixology.com if you're into the digital comic format.
Yeah, that's where I read it. Loved it there. It was good there. Yep. Well, all right then. Actually, I haven't been on Comixology in a while. I need to get in there. I have the monthly whatever deal. What's their thing? I forget what it's called.
Comixology Unlimited.
Yeah, which turns out to be fairly limited. But anyway... I'm paying that, and I don't get in there very much. I need to do that more, because I like the weird little indie things they have that are like originals to the format and other stuff. Like, it's great. I just been behind. I haven't checked.
Yeah, Comixology announced at San Diego Comic Con that they're expanding their indie availability. So they're actually going out and representing even more indie creators to get them on the platform, so more people can find their stuff.
Yeah, well, they should, because they're great. I like what they're doing. Like what they're up to. Steven Schleicher, everybody. He can be found at majorspoilers.com. Anything happening on the site or the podcast you want to mention?
Well, some of the stories that we were talking about today in regards to Hollywood and pop culture and comics can be found in a new series that we have coming out every Friday called Did You Hear?
Yeah.
So instead of just rumors, we're only reporting on things that have come out as fact, from straight from interviews, straight from this. It's not like so-and-so has been reported to be hired as the next Wonder Woman. No, we're not running that bait click stuff. We've got some of the top stories that are discussed a little bit more in detail and in depth, and it's written by one Ashley Victoria Robinson. So go check it out at majorspoilers.com on Friday. 2 installments are already up, so you can go find that in the archives as well.
Nice. We like her. Always happy to see her do cool stuff. Steven, always a pleasure. Have a fantastic week. And we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
See you, Steven.
Bye.
Someone in the chat thinks that you're playing World of Warcraft. And I said,
I know, I am not.
How would you? You can't.
Yeah, I can't. That would kill the connection. Plus, a lot of people would be able to see Coverville just logged in, or Brian of it. What is it? Coverville 1521 and battle ID.
And that offline. And by the way, that offline mode doesn't really work if you're friends with people. So if you're like, if you want to appear, sometimes I just want to go in and get a million tells. So I'll go in and I'll log in as anonymous or like I'm offline. They give you that option now. That's great and all. But if you're one of my real ID friends like you are, you still see me. It pops in and goes, oh, Scott logged in. Well, what's the point of that, Blizzard? I mean, I don't care if Brian sees me, but, you know, I'm trying to go in there anonymously so I can kind of get away from all the hubbub and focus.
Stealth.
Yeah. And you don't let me. It's weird that you even have the option. Okay. What are we doing here? Let's add Daryl to this business. He is also a Skype man. See, I'm turning it down. No, never mind.
Oh, that was quick.
Yeah, now he's actually freaking here.
Yes, yes.
Jeez, that was so fast. I already hear a meeting and everything. This is great.
I protest. I am not a merry man.
Can I swim while I am on my period?
No, don't do it. Not you. You in particular, Daryl. I don't mean anybody else.
Really, most people can. Just you me. Can't.
Yeah, you can't. Daryl Skeels is here. He is our resident Trek nerd. We talk about Star Trek-related stuff here on the podcast, and we do it every Monday. Daryl, how are you? How's things?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Busy.
Fantastic. I want to hear the meeting. What's going on back there? I hear some people. They're talking.
Yeah. It's quiet now. We've
got to increase our production and sales in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Bill's brought a PowerPoint presentation. Bill, do you want to go ahead and
present your... Thanks, Frank. So here's the deal. Production is up 2 points over last quarter. However, we find that Janice keeps leaving her stinky garlic food in the fridge. All right, Daryl, let's get right to it. So you gave the Rick and Morty thing another try.
Yeah, I did.
And because we had talked last week about how it's just not your thing, you didn't like it, you weren't sure why, but okay, I'll check it again and see what's wrong with me. We still don't know what's wrong with you because you still don't like it. Why? What's going on?
I don't know. Maybe it's the art style.
Sure.
What about the art style is rubbing your cheese the wrong
direction?
Doesn't
like the fact that everybody's pupils are little asterisks.
Well, they are, aren't they? I always forget that. Yeah. They're like little cross-stitcher things looking things. Yeah.
I would rather look for the Scott Johnson animations from 20 years ago and watch one of those than this.
Oh, really? Because those are bad.
Oh, actually, they're pretty great.
Well, you mean the one? Well, it wasn't 20 years ago. It was more like 10. But you mean the weird little stick figure crap I used to do on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. I love that
stuff. We should do those again. They took so much time. Really, they took forever, so I quit doing them. All right. Art style. I like the art style because it's different than most of what else.
It's like a little kid drew it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well... Okay, yeah.
I don't know. No more so than things like Bob's Burgers or Adventure Time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Adventure Time's way better.
Really? Adventure Time's got, they got noodle arms. That's a big complaint in the animation world. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, like,
you hear a lot of people in animation circles and people I follow on Twitter, they complain a lot. And I forget what it's called. They actually have a name for it that it's not noodle arms, it's some other term where they think every cartoon now. Is drawing from that template and they hate it. They all want to see more diversity in their comic or in their cartoons, and because everything that's new on Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon that's all using this kind of noodle arm looking, you know, Adventure Time kind of motif, which was very influential. There's no way to deny that, you know, it's a thing. I would say, you know, SpongeBob, nobody had elbows in that either. I guess they still don't, but. Anyway, I totally understand. I get it. I don't think that everything should be for everybody. So I have no problem with you going, it's not for me. No Rick and Morty for Daryl. I think it's fine.
Yeah. But if you love it, that's great.
If they do a Star Trek related episode, though, you'll force yourself to watch it, right?
Probably.
Yeah. If they go full, if they go full Star Trek on some episode, big parody of Star Trek, you'd have to see that one. You just have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you will.
I won't go and look for this and watch it, but if it's there and it seeks me out, then I guess I will.
Hold on a second. Bagheera 74 just made me laugh. He says, like the way when everything was Ren and Stumpy for a while. I don't think it was called Ren and Stumpy.
No, that's definitely an autocorrect, because Ren
Ren got corrected to the bird and Stimpy got corrected to the Stumpy because that's neither of those are actual words.
I love it.
That's autocorrect.
You kids and your Ren and Stumpy. Anyway,
Snoopy, poopy poop dog.
Poop dog. There you go. So Daryl, we'll check back in on that when there's a reason to. But yeah. It's good that you tried. I mean, look, all you can do is try, and you tried, and you and you know still didn't like it. Discovery makeup designer Glenn Hetrick says that the Klingons will be revamped again. I would like to know what that means.
Well, it means that they're going to revamp them again, but this time, well, it's because the Klingon houses are supposedly all genetically different, so they all look different. So I don't know. I guess every time you see a different Klingon house, they're going to look different.
Oh, well, that's a way for them to introduce the more Worf-looking ones then, yeah?
Yeah, I guess.
Hmm. Will they have any
it
without?
It seems weird to me, but.
Sure. What, Brian?
Glenn Hetrick was one of the judges on Face Off, the sci-fi reality show with people doing makeup and
that's
prosthetics
cool.
and stuff like that.
Never saw that.
If you've ever seen the guy, he's a very interesting
character. He's kind of got his own kind of makeup.
He looks
going
like
on.
He probably hangs out with Chris Angel, Mind Freak, and
Yeah, look at this guy. Wow, he is a. He is interesting looking.
He is, yes.
He's got, speaking of tattoos, my goodness, look at this guy in the chat room. Look at that. Oh, man. So Glenn Hetrick is in charge of all that. What's with his eyes? Something's going on with his eyeballs.
There's a couple photos of him where he has those contact lenses that are all black, like the dude in Limp Bizkit used to wear.
Oh,
like
right.
the Betazoids.
Oh, he could do that again in Star Trek. Why not? He's this frightening man. I think he looks like he could eat me.
He does look scary.
It's just a little scary looking.
Without giving it a thought, just eat you.
Yeah, just a yump. Just eat me like a mountain lion does to a cat if he's in your house. Exactly
your
like
makeup
that.
Makeup is not good. I will eat you for lunch.
I will eat you for lunch. This will be interesting. I want to see what that means. I don't know what he means, but I want to see it. I like the idea that different houses of Klingons are all bumpy different or have different shaped heads or whatever. There's something interesting about that. So we shall see. I didn't realize, has this always been canon that they were genetically different across the Klingon Empire or no?
No, that's new with Discovery.
Okay. But is it, so in the future, like in TNG times, everybody looks like Worf. Is that just because,
I don't know. They Who don't, knows? I'm sure they'll invent some reason.
Some retconning going on here, man.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. And also, Paramount salary negotiations with Chris Pine and Hemsworth, so the two Chrises, you know, have broken down.
Yes, they were going to be in the fourth JJ-verse movie.
Yeah.
And so now, for now, they're not going to be, but they're going ahead with the pre-production stuff anyway.
How do you not have Chris Pine in your Star Trek movie?
Right.
I don't know, but I mean, does it really matter?
You could get by
because...
without having Daddy Kirk, but right. You gotta have Captain.
Yeah, I can understand Hemsworth. I get that. You could figure a way around that, but Chris Pine's case? You've wrote here Chris's Pine and Hemsworth, and it's throwing me off every time I read Chris. But anyway, Chris Pine is Captain James T. Mother Effin' Kirk. You can't not have him in there.
Well, the way I see it is that the JJ-verse is like a cover band, so does it really matter who the actors are?
Well, kinda, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know.
It does... I mean, it doesn't when you do the full reboot, like getting, doing the whole, here's the new cast and Siler and Quinto and John Cho and stuff like that. But
were those all names? Those
mid-screen.
Are all names, right? Quinto, John Cho.
Zachary Quinto.
Oh, thank
Spock
you. Thank you. Okay. John now it makes sense to me. Cho Cho. Got it. Nailed it.
Cho-cha!
Yeah, Cho-cha. but no, I mean, I'm with Ibbot here. Like, you see, this is your new cast. If you suddenly take Simon Pegg out and put a different Scotty in, what are you doing? It's weird. But you don't agree. You think it's fine.
Yeah. I say they're interchangeable with other people because we took out William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy and put them in. So
yeah, but even the roadie thing still bugs me. Like
that's a secondary character.
Yeah, and I like Don Cheadle. He's fine, but I wish he would have been there the whole time. You know,
Bruce Banner. I guess that one worked, right?
You know, Rhodey. Who's Rhodey?
Rhodey. You know,
Rhodey is Iron Man's buddy.
Yeah, he's he's the
Don Cheadle. Yeah,
War Machine. You know, War Machine. That guy.
Okay.
He's the earlier prototype that had all the guns on it, which is kind of my favorite of all the prototypes. But Don Cheadle's a little tiny man, so it kind of kills it for me. But whatever.
I mean, but then you've got Edward Norton and Ruffalo as Bruce Banner, very different size, like shaped guys.
Yeah, but if you did it now, that'd be you can't swap Ruffalo out now for Infinity War 2. That would be weird.
No, definitely couldn't.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Chris Pine, that's how the Chris Pine thing feels to me. I think that's a huge mistake for them. If they pull in somebody else, your main character, your chief character, and it ends up being, I don't know who they'd put in there. Who'd be another good Captain Kirk?
Zac Efron,
sure.
No.
I mean, I don't want it to be him, but whoever it is, they bring him in. It's just going to throw audiences off. I don't think I like this. I think this is all bad news. I don't like it.
Yeah, I can see how it would disrupt the current state of things.
Yeah.
Give him whatever he's asking. Come on, he's Captain Kirk. He deserves it.
Yeah, he's Chris Pine. He's a handsome.
Pick your Beastie Boys song and let him play and pay him what he wants to be paid.
Yeah. Or, you know what he could do?
Or skip the Beastie Boys song and pay him whatever he wants to be paid.
Even that. In fact, please don't play that song in your Star Trek movies ever again. But here's what you should do. I got an answer.
Okay.
Chris Pine's character, Chris Pine doesn't show up, but there's some sort of intermediary story, like they do a little prologue, and they use old footage of him smiling and swaggering around and stuff, but in the end, they retcon this thing so that he has to drive around in one of those Captain Pike scooters. So he's just got the three lights and he boop.
So it's not Pike that gets piked, it's Kirk.
Yeah, Kirk gets piked.
In this universe.
Yeah, Kirk gets piked. Kirk gets piked. That's exactly right. Don't pike your Kirk. All right, I'm all in on this. This all sounds great. Okay, so there's that. You say no, and then you say eat a cookie. What is that?
That means we have cookies.
We have to eat an Oreo.
Oh shit!
I'm an idiot. Hold on. All right. Can we do the red one?
Sure.
The cherry cola.
Yeah. Cherry cola Oreos. This time I'm going to open the actual patented seal thing. And not rip it open from the side like some kind of amateur idiot. Let's see here. Cherry Cola Oreos. Thank you, Mary Heidenberg, once again.
So is that the brown, dark brown one?
Yes. I don't like what's
brown
coming.
Brown with the red and white filling.
Yeah. Or the one that says Cherry Cola on it, Daryl. Right there.
Well, I don't have the boxes. I left the boxes at home. I'd look like Santa bringing all that in here.
Oh, that's true. And everybody thinks they can take it to the break room and eat it. I get it. By the way, I don't like, Brian, you've got the package. I don't like how that that cola looks coming out of that can.
Yeah, it's it's one of those where you better get away because it's about to ruin your shirt.
Yeah, or it just looks thick and gross. Like
it does.
Oh, no, your can has explosive diarrhea. Print it. That sounds like a terrible idea. All right. Here we go. Opening this up. Oh, they're multicolored. Oh, they smell weird. Don't they smell weird?
My high school colors.
Oh, no way. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Ours were orange and blue and white. Because we had tigers.
Nice. Broncos would love that.
We were the Bengals.
It's like you're watching a weird eclipse. It's like an eclipse of the total eclipse of the red.
Yeah, total eclipse of the Oreo. Okay,
That doesn't smell like Coke to me, but whatever.
It doesn't to me either.
It smells like those gummy Coke bottles.
Oh right, like they make the Dr. Pepper ones. That. My kids are always buying those. All right, let's do it. Let's quit smelling it. Let's eat it.
All right. This tastes like Coke. I can't tell.
It's got fizzy crackles in it, like
Pop Rocks.
Oh,
Pop
no
Rocks.
Way, yeah. It took a minute.
I like
weird.
That.
I actually don't mind them. They're not bad. I'm not sure I'd call this Coke, though.
No, I mean, it tastes like those gummy Coke bottles as well.
You know, you guys hear that?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a staticky radio.
Come in, New York. Come in. All right. Well, now they're popping all up inside my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I need that to end. Stop. Hold on. Here. Okay, a little water will do you good. All right, well, those are fine. I honestly, they probably just dip into the same giant vat of the same flavoring as those gummy bottles you're talking about.
Probably, yeah.
Why do you think white and red? What do you think that's about? Why is it?
Well, the cherry, obviously, for the red, but yeah, why not like a caramel brown for the Coke?
Yeah, I don't get what that white is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't either. Yeah.
That seems like a bad design decision, but so is their diarrhea can on the front, so what do I know?
Maybe they've already used that color combo for something else, and they try to keep each cookie combo unique.
Easily could be.
Or maybe that's the foam on the top of the
Oh, is that what it's supposed to be? It's like a foam? Oh,
that could be, right.
No.
The head of your Cherry Coke poured in a frosty glass?
Yeah. Well, how can I trust anyone who doesn't like Rick and Morty? I don't know if I can do it.
I don't know, Rick.
I think you'd like it. You just have to sit and watch.
I don't know
more.
What the deal is with Daryl, Rick. He doesn't like our animation style. He says it's too.
I don't know, Rick. Childish. I think this is a terrible idea, Rick. You should watch it. It's so good, Daryl. I have to hang up on him now.
Gaga.
Why won't hang up? It won't. Okay. Goodbye. Now it's gone. That's going to do it for the show, except for, I believe I have a mashup. I actually haven't checked to make sure it's up there. If it's there, oh yeah, it is. Oh, we got a lot of new ones. Holy crap. Okay. He's got the parking lot tacos fireside.
Oh, nice.
All right,
that's got to be today.
All right, we'll do that today. So we have a normal mashup, which is like recent stuff. We'll do that tomorrow. Today we're doing parking lot tacos, okay? Perfect. So hold on to your butts. Here's the file. Take it away.
Once again, pull up a chair as Scott and Brian share a story by the fire. What will they talk about today?
All right, an update on my shame. I have some shame. I ate 6 tacos in a parking lot yesterday.
The visual, like, oh no, I can't take these home. I don't want to be seen inside the restaurant eating these 6 tacos.
Right.
I'm just going to eat them in my car in the parking lot.
Right, and it was Taco Bell tacos, so I went to Taco Bell and I thought I was going to go light. I'm like, I'll get like a steak taco, soft taco or something, and like a water bottle and their little thing of fruit, you know. Instead, right. I pulled up and I literally said, can I have a steak soft taco and 5 regular soft tacos? Do you want a drink with that? Large Mountain Dew. She says, okay. I go up to the thing. I pay her 10 unholy American dollars. And then I go park in front of a relatively, not abandoned, but nobody goes there, Office Max.
Okay.
And I park in that parking lot and I proceeded to violently wolf down 5 tacos and a steak taco while I sat there in my car.
It's like a guilt binge.
Yeah, while I listened to bluegrass. On my stereo. That's how pathetic this was.
It's like a Joel and Ethan Coen scene.
Yeah, like a Wes Anderson trailer or something.
Right.
I don't know what. And as I sat there, I'm like just loathing my time on Earth. I'm just going, what am I doing here? I'm in a parking lot because I don't want to drive and eat the taco. Somehow that seems unsafe because it is. And, you know, I'm getting stuff all over me. And I got, this is the best part. I open up a packet, like the hot sauce packet.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought I'd given it an appreciable opening. Grab it, and I lean it over my taco, and I squeeze, and nothing's coming out. And I squeeze a little harder, and it sort of just oozes a little bit. I'm like, well, this sucks, and I don't want to. For some reason in my head, I'm thinking, it's too much work to open it anymore.
Right.
So I'm going to squeeze it harder.
Oh,
so I
yeah.
really squeeze it.
It shoots out a different angle, doesn't it?
Yeah, does that, and just spatters all over the window next to me. And I'm like, oh well. Then I squeeze what's totally. Left of it in the taco and just eat it.
Oh my God, I'm just visualizing William Macy. I'm just visualizing, a Joel and Ethan Coen movie.
I was just so disappointed. I was so disappointed, Brian. So I'm just embarrassed by all this and wanted the folks to know. Thus ends my confessional. Now you're supposed to say I'm forgiven of all my
7
sins.
7 Hail Marys, right? 11 rosaries, 10 Lords of Leaping, and...
I think that's not one of them. I could be wrong, but I don't think that's one.
Right.
That's a good one, Jamie. Well done.
That's awesome. I forgot about the whole, split spray sauce packet.
Yeah, that part gets lost in the milieu of 5 tacos. However,
the,
That was like 2012, by the way.
Paint off your car, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 121 episodes or something is all. So wow. That was early. So early. Will that really eat paint off your car?
It will really, yeah. If you leave that, at least their hot sauce that they used to have will eat the paint off your car.
That seems like I shouldn't eat that.
They'll also clean all the crap off a penny. Like if you have a penny that looks horrible,
yeah.
You put it in their hot sauce and you'll pull it out and the penny is like super shiny, clean, looks like it just came off the line at the mint.
I knew this was true of Coke. Like you could soak money in a change in Coke and it would do that. Or you can put it on your battery and it would eat away the battery acid buildup. But I did not know this was true of hot sauce. And I like the hot sauce. Okay.
Tinvec says it's because of the vinegar. So I guess it's not surprising the thing.
So it's not a... Okay. Oh, so your stomach acid is way stronger. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Vinegar, baby. All right. Well, now we've learned something. Let's get out of here. If you would like to support this show, you can do it. Toot sweet, post haste, by going to patreon.com/TMS. And if that's not enough, we got all kinds of fun, cool stuff linked over at the website, frogpants.com/TMS. If you want to follow us on Twitter, well, damn it, there's a way. Coverville, Scott Johnson, Morning Stream. Put them all in there. The goodness will just roll downhill right to you. That's right. We're done. Hey, how about a song? You got a song there?
I've got a song, and I totally wish that I had prepared a cover of Who Let the Dogs Out, because it seems like that would be the most appropriate one to play today, but we got something else. Also, just a quick reminder, we're in the just past the halfway point for the Kickstarter for America's Next Top Podcaster. If you have not gone to contribute to that Kickstarter, please do. Today we're just under half funded and we want to just get this thing funded so we can start looking at some cool fun stretch goals. But if you want to hear Jury, Nicole, Scott Johnson, Tom Merritt all helping you fix your podcast, helping you learn about podcasting, or helping other people learn about podcasting, then go over there and support it today. We really want to make sure the show happens, so nice. Please do.
Nice.
Okay. This one goes out to Jeff. Jeff says, Brian and Scott, today I turn 52. While it would be great to have Brian play another country song for me, I think that would be pushing my luck. Well, hopefully you like the Ending the Middle song. Instead, I'd like to request a cover of the Cranberries song Zombie by the Bad Wolves. It came up in one of my Pandora channels this past winter, and I love this version of it. Signed, Jeff Brummel.
Nice.
So this was like a huge thing last year. Of course, sad, tragic death of Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries. And apparently the day after she passed away, she was going to be performing vocals for this song, for this version of Zombie that the Bad Wolves were doing. And they went ahead and just did their own vocals for it. Wow. And then I think even donated like first week sales to her charity or her estate or something like that. Very sad story. But anyway, the song is great. They released it as a single. They also included it on their album Disobey. Here is Zombie performed by Bad Wolves.
All right, here it is. See you guys tomorrow. Come on back now, you hear?
Silence. taking over. When the violence causes silence, we must be mistaken.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Jog on.